The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Neil Bascom said this in his book, The Perfect Mile. Quote, "The saying goes that every morning in Africa, an antelope wakes up. It knows it must outrun the fastest lion or it will be killed. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest antelope or it will starve. It doesn't matter whether you are a lion or an antelope, when the sun comes up, you'd better be running." End quote. Well, you know, that's kind of a vivid description of the instinct in the wild animal kingdom. It really comes down to survival of the fittest. Do what you need to do and do what you have to do to survive, because that's the instinct in wild animals. Did you know that's all going to be changed in God's kingdom when Jesus Christ establishes his rulership on this earth? Go get your Bible and follow along, and let's see what the Bible has to say about the kingdom of God and the king who will be in charge, Jesus Christ. First of all, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. Notice what it says here in Isaiah 11 and verse 4. "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth." It's going to be on this earth, his kingdom. "And he will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Now notice verse 6 of Isaiah 11. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Now you know this has never happened on this earth before, and it's not happening right now. You can't put a wolf and a lamb and a leopard and a goat and a calf and a young lion together and expect them not to begin to devour one another sooner or later. It's going to happen. It's just in their instinct. It's in their nature. Well, when Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom on this earth, he's going to change the nature of the wild animals. They're not going to devour one another and chase one another down and make a meal out of each other. That isn't going to happen anymore. It says it right here. Notice verse 7. "And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young lions shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." See, there's no hostility there in the animal kingdom now. Verse 8. "And the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp or the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, the viper's den. No more poisonous, venomous snakes that strike and kill their prey or their perceived enemies when they feel threatened. That's all going to be changed, and that's all going to be turned into safety and peace, not danger and death from poisonous, venomous snakes and spiders and other creatures of that sort. Verse 9, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, we're reading about a future time. Let's be honest about it. There's never been a time when the earth was full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's certainly not true now, but it will be true soon in the kingdom of God. This is going to happen. We know it is because the Bible says so, and we can prove that the Bible is inspired, and we can prove that God exists, and he backs up what his word says. So we're reading about a prophecy foretelling what's going to happen in the kingdom of God soon to come. And instead of carnivorous beasts chasing and devouring one another, there will be animals that are peaceful and that will coexist one with the other, and there will be harmony and safety in the animal kingdom and between all kinds of animals and other creatures that now are rather dangerous and rather threatening in certain situations on this earth today. Threatening toward human beings in certain circumstances and threatening toward one another. That violence and that menacing kind of instinct that is inherent in them will be replaced with a peaceful nature, and there will be no more violence among any creatures or animals on this earth at that time in the kingdom of God. Just recently, we heard on the news the following weather reports about devastating events that happen on the same day. We heard about blizzards in the mountain and plain states, tornadoes in the south and southeastern states, flooding in the north and north-central states, volcanic eruptions in Alaska, and drought in the southwest, all on the same day, just recently, occurring all at the same time. You know, these catastrophes in weather, which we routinely hear about and get so used to, we barely even pay any attention to them, except sometimes they're so shocking we have to take note of it. All of that's going to change when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and establishes his kingdom. Let's just turn over here to Joel and read what the Bible says about the weather, farming, and the climate of the earth at that time. Joel chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's turn there and read together. Joel chapter 2 and verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. It's on this earth. He's talking about this earth. Fear not, O land. Verse 22 of Joel 2. Be not afraid, you beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. In other words, he's going to cause the seasons to be predictable and mild, and rain will come at the right time. And sunshine will be there too, in the right measure at the right time. The climate will be conducive to farming and to living in a wonderful atmosphere of plenty and of every need being provided. Notice verse 24. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you, an army of pest and blight and all kinds of creatures that devoured crops and fruit and caused great harm to herds of cattle and sheep and goats. Why did God allow that to happen? Because of man's rebellion. But once Jesus Christ brings his kingdom back to this earth, that rebellion in man will turn to obedience in man, and then blessings will be poured out from God instead of curses. Notice verse 26 of Joel 2. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame again, is what he's saying. Never be ashamed. Think of what this will mean to the farming and cattle and orchard industry. Think of the kind of vegetables that can be grown in a climate like this. Think of the kind of cattle that will thrive where they are not constantly pestered and plagued with all kinds of disease and parasites. Just imagine the fruits in orchards and in vineyards as they thrive in a climate where the soil is rich, where the rains fall in due season, where the sunshine comes in measure, and where the farmers tend to their crops with happiness and joy and diligence. No more drought, no more pest, no more blight, which constantly plagues those in the agriculture industry of today. What a wonderful thing when all of that will be completely and totally turned around, and it will in the kingdom of God. Have you noticed the monumental task facing those involved in the healthcare system today? It just seems insurmountable what they face on a daily basis trying to deal with diseases and injuries and all kinds of problems with people and their health, diseases that can't be cured, new viruses that seem to come out of nowhere, people becoming sick early and earlier in life. When and where does it all end? Well, the answer is it's all going to end in the kingdom of God. And instead of the prevailing sicknesses and diseases that we see all around the earth today, we're going to see people who have robust health. Can you imagine when people are in perfect health and there's not going to be any more sickness or viruses or diseases? And if somebody is injured or comes down with some kind of infection, God will heal them. Think of what that's going to mean in areas where now sickness is simply just a way of life. Poverty is something that is never going to go away. And people just face a lifespan that is sometimes 20, 30, 40 years in some of the third world countries. And in even the developed countries, face a lifespan that, as they get older, just automatically brings on ailments and pain and suffering and debilitation and finally death. Well, you know, in the kingdom of God, people will die, but they'll live a full, healthy, robust life first. And they will be active, and they will be fully engaged, and they'll be free of pain. They will know what feeling good is like 24 hours a day. Let's just see where the Bible talks about that. Let's turn over here to Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Well, that hasn't happened yet. Sure, you have some desert land that's been reclaimed through irrigation, but we're talking about the vast desert waste places that you see on any map or globe that you take time to look at. Those deserts are going to blossom as the rose. Verse 2, Isaiah 35, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Eternal and the excellency of our God. And why and when will they see that? They will see that because Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to establish his kingdom on this earth. And that's when all this is going to happen. Verse 3, strengthen you the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And what's going to happen then? All of the diseases and the debilitations and the pain and suffering that is so rampant everywhere, and you find it in all ages, and it's particularly distressing to see it in little children. All of that's going to be changed, and this is what's going to happen. Notice here in verse 5, Isaiah 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. They're going to be healed. There'll be no more blindness. There'll be no more deafness. People will be able to hear perfectly and see perfectly. That's what the Bible says. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. People can talk. They can run and walk. They'll be able to enjoy the full range of health and capabilities that God originally designed into the human body. And they'll be able to do it with tremendous stamina and endurance. And their minds will be clear and sharp. This is going to happen. This is coming in the kingdom of God. All of the hospitals and all of the clinics and all of the research laboratories and all of the pharmaceuticals and the operations and all of the urgent, critical medical procedures that now take place all over the earth, trying to improve the life of people and save the lives of people and ease the pain of people, will at last be taken care of and replaced with perfect health and perfect physical, mental, and emotional strength and soundness in the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen any other way. Science can't deliver this. Politicians and economists cannot deliver this. Well-meaning healthcare professionals cannot bring this about. But Jesus Christ can, and he will. And the Bible says so. Let's continue reading verse 7, Isaiah 35. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err thereon. No lion shall be there on that highway, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Not only in Zion, but all over the face of the earth. No more sickness, no more diseases. I want to turn to one other scripture that backs that statement up. Let's go to Psalms chapter 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, Psalms 103, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Every kind and every one of your diseases, the Bible says, is going to be healed. They'll be found nowhere on the face of the earth under the rulership of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Right now, if you read or listen to the news, you will hear of wars and more wars and more potential wars. We truly live in a dangerous world. Consider North Korea developing a nuclear arsenal and rockets, intercontinental ballistic missiles that can deliver nuclear warheads to any spot on Earth. A rogue nation that does its own thing, always menacing, always threatening others. Iran, same comment and same development in their military and in their nuclear ambitions as North Korea, and they seem to be allied together. China, quickly becoming a superpower in every way, politically, economically, diplomatically, and above all, militarily. Russia, starting to move once again in the direction of wanting to be a world power. It was mentioned on the news just recently that they are now going to build several nuclear submarines. Afghanistan, where American and other NATO troops are involved in a struggle with terrorist groups. Right now, Iran. There's still warfare going on there, although it has been greatly reduced. The Middle East, it can break out at any moment. Among several nations there, especially Israel and the Arab states, open warfare takes place, and there are many other places. Now, how is all of this fighting and war and hatred and killing going to stop? How is it going to be solved, these problems that are with us today and just get bigger and bigger and worse in the matter of war, rumors of war, trouble, hatred, nations conquering nations, infiltrating other nations, and constantly trying to get the upper hand? When will all of that end? Will the United Nations bring the solution to the problem to the entire globe? We know better than that. Can any one nation on earth solve this problem, or group of nations? It's been tried over and over again, and it's only getting worse. War is going to be removed from this earth once and for all only when Jesus Christ brings his kingdom back to this earth and establishes his rule and his government throughout the world. The Bible makes this plain. Turn with me to Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice these beautiful words here, inspired of God, which describe a time that's never happened before, and you won't find it anywhere on the earth right now, but it's going to come in the future, and nobody can stop it. Jesus Christ inspired these words, and he means what he says and says what he means. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. But in the last days, that tells you the time frame. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. It's going to be on this earth, and people will be on this earth. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. In modern language, that's saying tanks, guns, bombs, ships, planes, all having to do with war, will be melted down and turned into implements of farming and construction and building. Neither shall they learn war any more. There will be no more war colleges and academies that teach strategy and tactics and logistics having to do with waging war on a local, regional, and international scale. Done away with. Everything having to do with war, and no more wars. Verse 4, But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. There will be peace. There will be safety. There will be tranquility and pleasantness. People will get along. Nations will get along. Everyone will love his neighbor. There will be sharing. There will be happiness and joy and building and prosperity and development. And everything will be based on the attitude of giving, not getting. And everything will result in nothing but good things for everyone else because Jesus Christ is here. He's in charge. And everyone will gladly submit to him and obey him and serve him. You know, another thing that will be solved at that time is a growing problem, which is eating away at the very foundation of society today, and that is family breakup. Marriages falling apart, rebellious, unhappy, misguided youth going their own way. All of that will be a thing of the past. You won't be able to find family breakups and rebellious, unhappy youth anywhere on this earth in the kingdom of God. Can you imagine a time where that statement could be made and it be true anywhere on earth today? All of the problems that plague our families and our marriages and our youth will just be solved and no longer will exist. You know that's never going to happen as long as mankind goes his own way. But when Jesus Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom, that is exactly what is going to happen. And then marriages will be happy. They will be flourishing and thriving. Families will be together. Children will be productive and reach their full potential. And frustration and loneliness and misery and alcoholism and drug addiction and all manner of violence and emptiness that now plagues our families and our youth and our populations will be completely gone and replaced with the good things that come from Jesus Christ and his kingdom, and in particular, those things that have to do with family, which is very important to God and to Jesus Christ. I mean, after all, they themselves are building a family, and they themselves are the ones who instituted the family in the first place. Let's notice a fantastic example of the kind of families that will exist in the future in the world tomorrow. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 144 and verse 12. Notice Psalms chapter 144 and verse 12. Break it into a thought. God inspired David to write this, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners, our barns may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in the streets or in the fields, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. All manner of crime will be done away with. No crime at all? None. No crime. No breaking in, no stealing, no bullying, no overpowering, no murders, no violence done among people. That's what it says right here, verse 14, that there be no complaining in our streets. Verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case, such a state. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That day is coming. Godspeed that day. Let's turn to Psalms 127. Notice Psalms 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. But see, that's going to be the way it is in the kingdom. God is the one who's going to be in charge and build all these things. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the eternal, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Many people understand that today, but a growing number of people simply don't see it that way. They don't think children are really a heritage, a real blessing, a real reward. They view them as pests, and they view them as a ball and chain around their ankles. They view them as trouble and can hardly wait for them to grow up and go their own way and quit crimping their lifestyle. They're nuisances in the minds of many parents today, and the kids know that, of course. And so then you have hostility that builds between parents and children. Well, here's what God says about children, and especially children that are trained and cared for properly. Lo, children are an heritage of the eternal, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Verse 5. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, happy is the man and the woman who can enjoy these blessings. And the children are happy too. That's going to be the family state in the kingdom of God. It won't happen before then except in a few instances, but it'll happen everywhere then. All of this will be developed and brought about during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ the King. It won't happen before that except in a few places where people understand and follow God's way. But it'll happen everywhere then when Jesus Christ has come back to this earth, established his kingdom, and then oversees everything for 1,000 years. The Bible makes this plain. Let's turn to another scripture regarding the time when Jesus Christ will be on this earth and establish his kingdom and bring about the joy and the peace and the happiness that we have been reading about. Turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. Once again, let me repeat, this has never happened before. It's not happening now, but it is going to happen in the future. It's talking about the Lord, the eternal Jesus Christ. You can see that clearly in verse 1 and verse 3. But let's notice verse 4 of Zechariah 14. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And now skip down to verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. We need to think about this more. We need to talk about it more. We need to pray about it and study about it more. The time when the kingdom of God is going to come to this earth and Jesus Christ is going to be in charge and all the ills and pains and sufferings and injustices and failures and hopelessness that we see every day happening among human beings will be reversed. And then what we'll see is peace and joy and happiness and health and good attitudes and love and productivity and achievements and accomplishments and creativity and innovation and developments. What a wonderful time that's going to be. It's not going to happen before that time, little bits and snippets of successes here or there, but total world peace, total world happiness, total world prosperity and health is not going to happen before the kingdom comes back to this earth. But it is going to happen then, and the kingdom is going to come. You can be sure of that. I hope we'll be praying on a daily basis, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I hope we'll begin to focus on the future when that kingdom comes back to this earth and Jesus Christ is here as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I hope that'll give us great hope and enthusiasm, because when that happens, everything will be changed. Everybody will be changed. All life on earth will be changed, from struggling along and just trying to survive and get by to living the abundant life to the full. Everything changed to be the very best it was designed to be. If you would like to know more about the future and answers to today's pressing problems, call for our free material on Thy Kingdom Come and The Pearl of Great Price. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.